Welcome to the Math Ed Podcast. My name is Sam Otten from the University of Missouri, and my guest today is Cheng Yao Lin, who is in the School of Education. He's the coordinator of the Elementary Education Program at Southern Illinois University. Cheng Yao, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about some recent work that Cheng has done and some of the activities that he has shared with the Mathematics Teacher Journal audience. But first, I'd like to start by actually going back to your graduate school experience. So I wonder if you could just let us know, where did you do your graduate studies and with whom did you work there in grad school?
I am a tenure four professor in math education and hold a faculty appointment in the School of Education at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. And I received my PhD degree from University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 2003 in mathematics education. And I began at the SIU Carbondale in 2004 as a assistant professor in math education. And my advisor is Ken Travers. And my research interests focus on the integration of technology into mathematics education, the preparation of preserve teachers and cross-cultural research, preserve teachers' procedure and conceptual knowledge.
And you've done quite a lot of work related to decimal numbers and number sense and things, especially in the elementary grades. I want to get into this article that you've written recently, but I want to start by just sort of laying the land with decimal numbers and those concepts. So when working with decimal numbers, I want to just hear from you what you view as the standard algorithms when working with decimal numbers. And then also if there are alternative strategies, like other ways of working with decimal numbers besides the standard algorithms, why, in your view, why is it important to think about this variety of strategies and not just standard algorithms?
Well, this paper I work with Professor Yumin Zhong from Utah Valley University, and then Professor Young-Rae Kim from Texas A&A San Antonio. And we work together with this problem. The standard algorithm is if you add two decimal based on the place value, and then that would be the standard algorithm. Now, what about alternative strategies? And then, for example, like a lattice method, decomposing, composing, you know, or converting to fraction and so on, you know, because, you know, mostly, like a textbook that's not sure, we're using this one as an alternative strategy. I believe most of the mathematics problem can be solved using many different solutions or strategies, not only one way, okay? And then the common core standards also emphasize the importance of the mathematical proficiency in students to use different strategies in ways that they should be able to check. So I found several research, you know, and the benefits, you know, of using different strategies. You know, students who are learning to use the multiple strategies can, number one, can obtain their high order thinking by using the coherent representation of learning material. And it also help them, help students understand each representation and avoid misinterpretations, and also enhance autonomy of self-determination and then competence. Also, the research also find, you know, if it will facilitate a connection between the related idea and different elements of knowledge. And also in Baker and Shimada's, you know, and they point out if we're using the alternative strategy, we'll build up the advanced mathematical thinking and knowledge. And also from Baker and Shimada, you know, 1997, in that book, you know, also increase student conceptual understanding, and when students are supported with some of a period knowledge. So I think overall, I think using the alternative strategy will promote mathematical thinking and learning instead of just like, we teach you the robot, just only one way of thinking.
Yeah, no, I think that sets a good stage for the paper. And you mentioned the co-authors, but just to give folks the information about this article that we're going to be talking about, it was published recently in the International Journal for Mathematics Teaching and Learning in volume 22, and it's called Pre-Service Teachers' Understanding of Decimals Using Standard Algorithm and Alternative Strategies. So we're in that space of decimal numbers and the strategies that are used, but you're looking at pre-service teachers in particular. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the goal of this study was and the goal of looking at pre-service teachers and their decimal strategies?
But the goal of this study is to explore preserved teachers' ability to implement multiple strategies using standard algorithm and alternative strategy, and then to investigate their conceptual knowledge of decimal operation using multiple strategy of decimal operations. So that's the goal.
Can you share just a little bit about what data you had, and then what did you find from that data?
Well, the data, the results we find, indicates that using standard algorithm, preserved teacher demonstrate higher ability in solving decimal addition, subtraction, multiplication, involving a whole number. And the alternative strategy poses difficulties for preserved teachers in solving decimal multiplication problems, involving two decimals, and then division problems. Now, in determining preserved teachers' conceptual understanding of decimal operation, they show smooth transition in operation with a decimal addition, subtraction, multiplication involving a whole number. And however, preserved teachers encounter more difficulties in translating representation in operations with a multiplication involving two decimals, divisions involving a whole number, and a division involving two decimals. This means that the preserved teacher for this study built a foundation of conceptual knowledge in that they showed a smooth transitions in operation with a decimal addition, subtraction, multiplication involving a whole number. However, they may have a very limited conceptual understanding in operation of a multiplication involving two decimals and then two types of division problems.
Are you kind of revealing there, like the conceptual understanding seems to be more intact with whole numbers, and in whole numbers, they can sort of approach things in a variety of ways. But then as you start to have decimals and decimals or fractions with fractions, and you're trying to operate with those, is that when you start to see some limitations to the conceptual understanding? Like they're maybe more comfortable with the standard algorithm and they don't have as much versatility or as much flexibility when they get to that point?
Right. So I think so that's the way, when they come to decimals and compare to the whole numbers, whole number, maybe they get it, and a decimal, a different type of a problem. They see it as a different type of problem, but actually it's just place value, They have a problem with the place value.
Yeah, and you would hope that, or we would hope that the conceptual understanding is strong enough that they can handle it with any type of number and realize, well, the operations are still conceptually the same operation, or these numbers are still conceptually the same type of object, but your study is revealing a little bit of a limitation to that conceptual understanding.
Right. Conceptual understanding, it's they more, if we have a more conceptual understanding, curriculum in the math lesson, and that will be more, it will help in their understanding, because they're mostly student I see is they are more like, they're okay with the procedurally, but conceptually, they don't understand what's going on there.
Yeah. And I think you're right too, to kind of point out that these concerns that you're seeing are really a failure of the system, like the system for what curriculum have they been exposed to? What kinds of learning opportunities have they had in the past? And so what can we do as a system of math education to try to improve this? It's not a failing of the individual pre-service teachers. But I wanted to ask you then, what are some suggestions that you have for people who are working with pre-service teachers and are trying to build that understanding about decimal numbers? What would you suggest?
Well, this study, revealed that only 1/5 of our preserved teachers demonstrate their conceptual understanding of multiplication involving two decimals in the division problems. The majority of preserved teachers have still encountered difficulties among decimal operations. So majority of people, they have a problem. So I think my suggestion for this, we have to promote the teaching and learning, about teaching, we need to focus on both knowledge, not only procedure, but also you have to show the conceptual. And then both conceptual and procedure need to teach at the same time. And the other thing, I find in many mathematics classroom teachers are already using reform or standard-based mathematics curricula, and that places emphasis on students' ability to apply mathematics in real-life situation. And this curricula encourages teachers to use cooperative learning and then student inventing algorithm. And I think in the future, more research should be conducted on this matter. We have seen the Common Core, people say Common Core or reform, but I have not seen the reason, what's the reform, what happened, you know, after reform. So I think that in the future, this will be the research people can do, you know, what happened, you know, what's the current reform happened, what happened for the Common Core, does it helping people more conceptual understanding, yes or no? I think that that's the research we need to, we can do in the future. And also I suggest, mathematics educators, including teacher education should provide opportunity for pre-service teachers and in-service teachers, to develop a deep understanding of a decimal operation through mathematical content, method course and professional development programs, right? I think that is important, deep understanding, 20 years ago, we have a kind of impact from the DP Math book and then focus on deep understanding. But what happened for 20 years later? Are we still the same? Are we still change anything? That's a question mark. If you go back to DP Math book, if you go back to Deborah Bowles, their paper, you can see 20 years ago what they find the issues, but what happened 20 years later is still resolved or not resolved. So that's a question mark, and that's the research we can do in the future. Yes.
Yeah, that could be another conversation. I think that there has been progress in pockets, and I think certain initiatives or certain projects have made some difference, but it has not become widespread. Is my view.
Yes.
That the improvements in conceptual understanding or in empowering people in their mathematical ideas has not trickled throughout the whole population or in like a large cultural sort of way. That's my sense of it. But I also wanted to go back to you were saying about the research on using alternative strategies or using invented strategies and having that try to build students' conceptual understanding and also pre-service teachers or elementary teachers' conceptual understanding. So earlier on in the interview, you were talking about how alternative strategies can be a way to bring in multiple representations and mm-hmm. to see a mathematical idea or an operation from multiple angles.
Right.
But then here you were also talking about curriculum that invites invented strategies.
Right.
And the invented strategies are not only alternative to the standard algorithm, they also are based on the student's prior knowledge and the student's ideas that they bring to the table.
Right.
So that taps into students' prior knowledge in a powerful way, and then also has the benefit of being an alternative strategy that you can compare and make connections. So yeah. To me, that stands out as I kind of agree as there's been research on those invented strategies and those areas, but we need to just keep looking at that because it has not become widespread. It has not trickled through to be a full kind of conceptual understanding for the broad population.
We are hoping, our student and after the basic knowledge you really receive, and we are hoping in the future they can invent their own. Like, they not just take it, they can invent their own. But for example, like a Pythagorean theorem, there is 400 proofs. But why 400 proofs? And some of the proofs is based on their prior knowledge to invent. And then same as we have one proof is a President Garfield's proof, American proof. The President Garfield proof is based on the trapezoid, right? And then you have to know what's the trapezoid knowledge in order to invent the Pythagorean theorem like this. So I'm hoping in the future, once we have a foundation is done, then hoping the student can invent their own. And that is the beauty of math. That is the beauty of math, okay? Mm-hmm. We can create, we can invent, we can find a better way and find the way, of different of thinking, and that is the beauty of math.
I'm speaking with Cheng Yao Lin from Southern Illinois University. And I also wanted to chat with you about one other topic, which is the NCTM journal, Mathematics Teacher, pre-teaching and learning, pre-K to 12 or whatever the new title is. I'm still learning it, but MTLT, we call it now.
MTLT, yes.
So you've been a department editor for that journal for a long time. And I also noticed that you've written quite a few of the growing problem solvers. So there's this, department for GPS growing problem solvers.
Right.
And I saw you've written about hopping into fractions. Recently, you wrote about gopher tunnels that do probability. So you're kind of going down these tunnels, and as they split, you have different probabilities. But I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your experience working with MTLT. And then for yourself, when you're writing those problem-solving opportunities, what are the ideas that you have in your mind that sort of lead you to a good, effective, engaging kind of problem-solving opportunity?
I'd like to share the one of the article I just wrote for Gopher Internal Probability, where the idea coming from. Now, one day I was working in my backyard, and then there's a lot of holes. And then I was thinking about, well, underneath, you know, they might be have some tunnels. So therefore, I did some studies. And then at the same time, I was teaching probability in my preschool teachers. So all two things, I connect to each other. So all real life, you know, context. I mean, if you want to get a paper accepted by an NCTN, number one, you need to have a real life context. You cannot have like a pure math. It's not going to work in NCTN, MTRD paper. You got to have a real life context. And then once you write this paper, you know, like the goal for growing problem solver, this department, it's just like, you know, you have a lesson plan, you write a lesson plan, and then teacher read this and ready to go. They think that this is a good idea and they can use it in the classroom, right? All the papers, you know, I think that has to connect to the real world context and meaningful. The lesson, you know, the paper you write has to be a meaningful lesson and then leading to high order thinking. So you might have some basic foundation problems, then you're moving on to high order thinking. Yes. So I think that that's the way, you know, you want, if you want to submit a paper to the NCTM MTRT paper, you know, I encourage you. You know, because I think this journal is just started about a year ago, and a lot of people don't know. I think used to be the NCTN, we have a three different type journal. We have elementary, middle school, and high school. Now we combine as a one, right? So therefore, I think that if you want to succeed, you know, write a good paper, you need to find a partner. Like, for example, you're a high school teacher, and you maybe find elementary teachers to work with together. And then and that would help you to publish a paper in NTRT. And I just want to share with you, you know, all the things you have to real life context, you know, a meaningful lesson, you know, and something interesting. We're looking for something interesting. So when people submit here, we're looking for, what is it, is something interesting? Is this something I never seen that before, right? And then there are so many things, you know, in the world. You know, if you put on your glasses, it's like mathematical glasses. If there's so math, you know, or, you know, around the world, right? So I think that that's the way, you know, if you want to write a good paper, you know, has to be connected to the real world context.
Yeah, I think that's great advice from somebody who's been working, you know, with that journal for quite a long time. And I'll just point the listeners to nctm.org. And if you go to Mathematics Teacher, Learning and Teaching Pre-K to 12, the journal, I would just point out, yeah, that there are several different departments. You know, there's the feature articles, but then there's also focus articles. And then there are departments like editorials, Ear to the Ground, For the Love of Mathematics, Growing Problem Solvers that we were just talking about, or just a letter to the editor. Like there's a variety of departments. And I think sometimes people think everything has to be a feature article. It's like, no, you might have something that fits really well in one of these departments. And right, some of those right. departments are actually really hoping for more submissions. So
right.
encourage people to check that out.
Some of the department, you know, they might be have a test before, like you have done this lesson before in the classroom, you know, and our department is different. It's just like, you know, you got some idea, you know, you like a teachers, they look at this one, oh, this good lesson plan, I can use it in my classroom, you know. And then this is the goal for our department, growing problem solvers.
Yeah, and there's also Teaching is a Journey, that department, which is actually just about stories and moral support that teachers can give to each other about what it's like to be a teacher. There might be a lot of stories these days, and it might be good to read from some fellow teachers about what it's like to go through that. So, well, it's right. been great talking to you, Cheng Yao. I do want to ask you my final question, which is to get away from math education for a second. If you were not in math education, what might you imagine doing as an alternative career?
That's a good question. I want to be a pilot because I like to travel everywhere, right? I think I have traveled many countries and then I experience different culture. Like United States, I've been to like 40 states. So 40. And then there's still 10 states I've never been to. So that's on my bucket list. But I always travel by car. So I was thinking about one day I can be a pilot, you know, that'd be wonderful, you know. And then during the pandemic, you know, tell you what, during pandemic, I cannot go anywhere, you know, and then it's lockdown. So I stayed at home and for teaching, but also another time, you know, So I studied like the pilots, the testing. And then interestingly, I find a lot of things is mathematics. If you don't have a good background of mathematics, you won't pass the test, right? I think that I study a lot of the exam. You know, I look some of the problems. And maybe that one, you know, maybe one day, you know, if you want to submit MTRT, and then you can pull out one of the pilot test exam and give some idea, some thoughts. What's the connection with the math and then the pilot, right? And then, and then that's kind of things, you know, if people want to write a paper, and that would be good, you know, paper, you know, to start with. Yeah.
I can tell you've been a department editor for a while because you see the whole world through the lens of, could this be turned into a good right. GPS article?
Right. That's right.
But I also appreciate when I ask people this, a lot of them say, you know, in an alternative life, I could have been something else, but you actually said, I want to be a pilot, like that you are still something that you could do in the future. So you're still keeping that dream alive. It's good.
Yeah, maybe retire. I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was really good talking to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you. Appreciate it.